Described as unfit to understand him. As described by Sri Rupa Goswami, only when one is completely free from mental speculation and free of activity, anya vilashita shunyam, jnana kamadi anavrita, can one engage in pure devotional service without being polluted by material desires? The significant word atmabhavitaha indicates that the Lord is awakened in one's mind if one constantly thinks of him. A pure devotee is always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. Sabhaya mana Krishna padara vindayo. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? 9th chapter. When he describes a devotee. What does he say? I think it's the 9th chapter. Man mana. Bhagavan bhakto. Become my devotee. Think of me. And here Prabhupada is saying this is a qualification. Right? A pure devotee is always seeking the lotus feet of the Lord. Sabhaya mana Krishna padara vindayo. Who's that describing? Amrish Maharaj. A pure devotee cannot remain a moment without being absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This constant thinking of the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita as satata yuktana. Always engaging in the Lord's service. Tejam satata yuktana. The constant thinking of the Lord, Bhajatam, Vritti Purvakam, this is devotional service in love and affection. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead dictates to the pure devotee from within, the devotee is saved from all material activities. Even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are considered material activities because by such activities, one is simply elevated to other planetary systems, the residential abodes of the demigods. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 25, Yanti deva pratara deva pitri nyanti pitri prataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yanti madhyati no imam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. The word atmabhavitaha also indicates that a devotee is always engaged in preaching to deliver conditioned souls. Right. So this is interesting, isn't it? It is said of the six Goswamis, Nana Shastra Pachara Naika Nipuno. So Dharma Samstapiko Lokanam Itakarino. The six Goswamis are scrutinizingly studying the Vedic literature. Nana Shastra, all of the Shastra. Vichara Naika Nipuno, Sandharma, why? Sandharma Samastathako, to establish religious principles. Sandharma. For the benefit, Rokanam, Hitakarana, for the benefit of everybody. A pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking of how fallen conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotee's attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. If a devotee is blessed by another devotee, he becomes free from karma kanda and jnana kanda activities. As confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Dulabham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be realized through karma kanda and jnana kanda. Anulabham, Atma Bhakto, the Lord is realized only by a sincere devotee. Vedeshu Dulabham, Anulabham, Atma Bhakto. This material world, the cosmic manifestation, is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the living entities have come here to enjoy themselves. The Vedic instructions guide them according to different regulated principles, and intelligent people take advantage of these instructions. They thus enjoy material life without being disturbed. This is actually illusion. And to get out of this illusion by one's own endeavor is very difficult. The general populace is engaged in material activities, and when people are a little advanced, they become attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. However, when one is frustrated in the performance of these ritualistic ceremonies, he again comes to material activities. In this way, both the followers of the Vedic rituals and the followers of material activities are entangled in conditional life. These people get the seed of devotional service only by the goodwill of the Guru and Krishna. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prashade by Bhakti Lata Bija. When one is engaged in devotional service, he is no longer attracted to material activities. When a man is covered by different designations, he cannot engage in devotional service. One has to become free from such designated activities, sabo, pani, vinir, muktam, and become pure in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead through purified senses, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti, Uchite. The service of the Lord through purified senses is called Bhakti Yoga, or devotional service. The sincere devotee is always helped by the super soul, who resides within the heart of every living entity. As Lord Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10, which Srila Prabhupada has already quoted earlier on in this purport, Tesham Satati Yuktanam, Bhajatam, Priti Purvakam, Tadami Guni Jogantam, Jainamam Upayakti Te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, Priti Purvakam, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Tadami Guni Jogantam. This is the stage of becoming free from the contamination of the material world. At such a time, a devotee makes friends with another devotee, and his engagement in material activities ceases completely. At that time, he attains the favour of the Lord and loses his faith in material civilization, which begins with Varnashram Dharma. That's a pretty far out statement. Prabhupada says here, loses his faith in material activities, which begins with Varnashram Dharma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks clearly of us becoming liberated from the Varnashram Dharma, the most exalted system of human civilization. At such a time, one feels himself to be perpetually the servant of Lord Krishna, a position taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Naham vipra na cha narapatir na pi vajyo na shudro, na ham vani na cha krihapatiya, no vanasto yativa, kintu pronya nikila, paramananda, puna mritabdhe, gopi patu padakamalayo, dasa dasa anu dasaha. Pajali 63. That's Rupa Goswami, is it? Pajali, Rupa Goswami's statement. I am not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra. I am not a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. What am I? I am the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. Through the disciplic succession, one can attain this conclusion, which is perfect elevation to the transcendental platform. Wow. Timirandasya Giranjana Sanakaya Chachu Omilitam Jena Tasmae Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Menobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mokam karoti vachanam pangulam khayate giriyatri patamam bande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. So Prabhupada mentions here that if a person, when a person becomes a little advanced, then they're attracted to the Vedic literature. They're attracted to the Vedic construct of things like Varnashram Dharma, or you know the worship or the worship that's prescribed in the Kamakanda section of the Vedas to get elevation to the higher planetary systems, or even the performance of karma, good karma, if you like, to make advancement to the higher planets. What was it? And also to understand philosophically. Because Prabhupada says here, Jnana Kama. Where is it? Jnana Kama. Anya Vritam. Where is that here? Anya Vivasita Shunya. Jnana Kama Jnana Vritam. So in the Vedic literature, there's encouragement to follow the rules and regulations of the Kamakanda section to make progress. There's also the philosophical inquiry, the desire of the jnanis to understand what is life, what's the purpose of life, who am I? But which usually arrives at an impersonal conclusion. So this is actually an elevated position. Well, those who are followers of the Vedic rituals, as well as those who are followers of the fruitive activities, this is considered to be advanced. But even though it's advanced, it's not as advanced as those who get the opportunity to associate with the devotees. Otherwise, as Prabhupada mentions, if you worship the devatas, the devas, the demigods, then you go to the planets of the demigods. If you worship the Pitris or the forefathers, then you go to the planet of the Pitris. If you worship the Bhutas, the ghosts and spirits, then you go to the planet of the ghosts and spirits. But if you want to approach Krishna, then you have to, if you want the highest achievement, which is the real purpose of life, the real purpose of life is to understand one's relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, right? Anadi. What is it? Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. The Supreme Controller is Krishna. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Anadi Govinda. He is the beginning without beginning. Sarvakarana Karana. He is the cause of all causes. So, it is elevated, it is advanced to be attracted to the Vedas. That's an advanced understanding of existence, to be attracted to. But it's interesting, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, don't be distracted or disturbed by the flowery words of the Vedas. Attracted to the elevated planets of the demigods, or to the achievement of fruitive activities, or even to the realization of one's spiritual identity as Brahman. This is actually quite advanced, to achieve these positions, to understand these positions is more elevated than, say, the activities of the materialists, who are just engaged in sense gratification, don't have an understanding of a higher purpose in life. Even though people aspire to understanding what their mission is, what their purpose is, very often that purpose in life is only to achieve material objectives. Whereas a devotee is fortunate because they understand that the purpose of life is not to achieve material objectives, even elevation to the higher planetary systems, or even realization of one's spiritual core, spiritual identity, is not enough, right? Because one will always come down. Even if one understands, comes to the theoretical understanding of I'm not this body, right? Aham Brahmasmi, very interesting. You can come to the realization that you're not the body, but unless you act on that platform, you're not going to be able to stay in that consciousness permanently. So what is the catalyst? What is the real benefit of the human form of life? Or we could ask, what is the benefit of the human form of life if we don't do what?
Serve Krishna.
Yes, but before that, what does Prabhupada say? What's the most important thing that can happen to a devotee? Prabhupada doesn't say that. What does he say? Although that's implied, that's not what Prabhupada said in the purport. What did he say?
Giving up material activities.
He does say that, but before that. What is the question? What is the most important thing that can happen to a devotee? And that eventually makes one a devotee. What is it? What is it?
What is it?
What's that? Yes, and how does that mercy manifest? The Prabhupada doesn't say that.
Mercy of a devotee.
He says the mercy of a devotee. By the mercy of a devotee. Right? By the mercy of a devotee. That devotee will naturally then become your guru. Right? Because devotees, you know, they can't stop themselves. No, but that's okay. That's actually okay because that's a symptom of a devotee. The Prabhupada mentions that here. Very important. Very, really nice, actually. Right, so first of all, Prabhupada says that the quality of a devotee is that he's always thinking of Krishna. Right? Quality. And Desham Satati Yukta. So he quotes this verse, Desham Satati Yukta Anam. Well, first of all, Anya Vilasita Sunyam Jnana Kama Jana Britam. So a devotee's motivation is not, or should not, really for material benefits. Right? Although this is in anatta nivritti, when we practice bhakti, we may get material benefit. Not may, we will. We will get material benefit. Which could be an obstacle by the practice of bhakti. We'll face obstacles. Right? But the pure devotee is not attracted. And you know, by hearing from the devotees, right, this is why the association of the devotees is so important. And what is critically essential, because you can study the Vedas and not come to the point of understanding that devotional service is what you should be doing. Right? You can miss it. And that's why having a devotee who explain these things is so important. The spiritual master, ultimately. But the spiritual master is a devotee. And all the devotees will, this is what the devotees will teach. A pure devotee is always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. Savai Mano Krishna Padava Nindayo. Because that devotee is Satata Yukdanam, always engaged, then Krishna reveals himself. Dadani Buddhi Yogam Tam, by giving intelligence. So initially the intelligence comes from the devotee, but as one becomes fully absorbed in the practice of bhakti, then Krishna reveals himself. Huh? But it begins Guru Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, from that meeting with a devotee. This is of critical importance. Not that one has studied all of the Vedas, or that one has following all of the rituals of the Vedas, and even here Prabhupada says, even if you're following the Varnashram system, right, at the end, that's what Prabhupada say here. This is the stage of becoming free from the contamination of the material world. At such a time, a devotee makes friends with another devotee. And his engagement in material activities ceases completely. At that time, he attains the favor of the Lord and loses his faith in material civilization, which begins with Varnashram Dharma. Critical to our success is to make friends, to meet the devotees, and then make friends with the devotees. And then what happens when you make friends with the devotees? Material life is finished. No? This is why the association of the devotees is so important. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha Sava, Sastra Kori, Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha Sava, Siddhi Hoi. All perfection can come just by the association of the devotees. Why the devotees are so special and so important and worshipable. Which is always a bit of a challenge, you know, because when we first come to Krishna consciousness, then we see all of the devotees like demigods who walk at least 6 inches, you know, above the ground. Then we make friends with them and live with them, and then we discover they don't walk on the ground, they don't walk 6 inches above the ground at all. But why we have to be very careful of seeing the devotees in a materialistic light. We have to learn to see the devotees as exalted personalities, even if we know them most intimately and can see all their faults. But actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, it describes how a devotee has no faults. So this can be a real challenge for a younger devotee. When we're first associating with the devotees, then we see them all as paramahamsas, and then we discover that they're not, at least from a material perspective. And then we've got to live with them. But of course, that's the process of making advancement, is being able to see, like Krishna Gunagarani, see the good in others, adosha dashi, not the faults. No. Although that doesn't mean that we don't see the faults, but we appreciate the good qualities of the devotees. Why? Because in the association of the devotees, we'll be engaged in devotional service. If we take it positively, we'll give up all material activities, which is a symptom of a pure devotee. All material activities are given up, and then, here, another qualification. Krishna is revealing himself within the heart. The process of devotional service has been revealed by the devotees. He's engaged in that process. Krishna is revealing himself. And then, what's the other symptom that Srila Prabhupada mentions here that's a characteristic or a quality of a devotee?
Preaching.
Yes. He's concerned about the welfare of others. And what does he do in the Hare Krishna movement, in ISKCON? Then what does he do?
Goes
out on book distribution. Well, maybe before that, what does he do?
Harinam.
Yeah, Harinam. And before that, what does he do?
Prasadam.
Right? That's why we have to be careful about seeing these activities. You know, we see book distribution as just a sales pitch. Or we see, you know, distributing prasadam is just a lot of hard work for the sutras. That's for the sutras, not for the brahmanas. It's hard to misidentify or misconstrue what Harinam is. Right? It's not a dancing performance or a singing performance. Right? But it can be seen like that sometimes. Right? You know, sometimes we see devotees who become enamored with their voice. At least they're chanting Hare Krishna, that's good, but it's the chanting of Hare Krishna, not the singing, in one sense. Right? It's not just singing, it's not a performance. It's not a performance. It's the sincere desire to wanting enlighten others, to give Krishna to others. Right. And this is a test in one sense, and especially those of us who are members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which means we are followers of Srila Prabhupada. Right. It's not necessarily study of the Vedas, right? Vedeshu, what is it? Although interesting. There's a contrast, perhaps a dilemma here. Vedeshu dulava, right? I'll give you an example. You know, the parents often encourage the children to recite slokas, right? And then they glorify the children because they can recite slokas, right? But ask them, what does it mean? Right? I don't know. So, you know, just a mere repetition of slokas doesn't a devotee make. It's not bad. Right, but it doesn't necessarily make a devotee. It just means that he's got a good memory. He can learn and recite things. You know, you can recite your two times tables and demonstrate the same quality of remembrance. So, to understand Krishna, to understand devotional service, and to come to this point of understanding that the mood of a devotee is to save others. Although, mind you, save yourself first, that's important. But, you know, unless you're a good, strong swimmer, you can't be a lifesaver. If you're just a beginner, right, you get a beginner's certificate, which means you can swim 25 yards, when I was a kid, 25 metres dog paddle. But that is, you know, you barely can save yourself. Right? And then you get an intermediate certificate when you can swim 50 metres in the pool, right, which is a full length of a pool. And do breaststroke and whatever. But even then, you may be able to swim yourself, but that doesn't mean you can, if somebody's drowning, that you can go and save them. There's a lifesaver certificate, which means you're a very strong swimmer. Because otherwise, what will happen? You go to try and save somebody, and you and them will both drown, because they will grab you. And if you're not strong enough, both of you go down. Right. So one has to be a strong devotee. So saving oneself is critical, but one uses that strength to then go and save others. You know, so that's why we like to ensure that a devotee is what we call fixed up or steady. And that's mentioned, I think, in this verse, isn't it? Parinishtitam, right? All around steady. Very important. One has to be all around steady. In the association of the devotees. Because what happens is if we're associating with materialistic people, then their materialistic consciousness will muddy the pure consciousness of Krishna consciousness, which we get from the devotees. Right? Which is why Prabhupada would encourage the devotees to read his books. To, you know, if we're out preaching, then we're going to be associating with people who have a materialistic bent, frame of mind, and it rubs off. So therefore, we need to chant Hare Krishna, we need to read Prabhupada's books, we need to keep. And even Prabhupada would encourage on an annual basis, semi-annual basis, Prabhupada would encourage the devotees to go to the Holy Dharma. Right? Go to Vrindavan, or go to Mayapur, go to Vrindavan, go to Jagannath Puri. And what do you do when you go there?
Take a bath
in the Ganga? Well, you may do that. The more important point is to go and associate with the devotees there. Right? Hear the Bhagavatam. Hear the Bhagavad Gita. Refocus on what our purpose is. You know, I've been meditating on, I should put it in practice, but Prabhupada says that Arjuna is an eternally liberated soul. Right? He's a nitya siddha. Just like we said, you know, Vyasadeva is an expansion of the personality of Godhead. But we see that Vyasadeva gets bewildered, interestingly enough, and has to be enlightened by Narada Muni. So it's interesting, sometimes we see in very exalted personalities symptoms of Maya or ignorance. Interesting, isn't it? But there's a purpose. You know, when I was, before I met the devotees, I was trying to work out what is going on in this place. Right? There must be a purpose for life. Did you ever think that? You know, this is not random. What's going on around here is not random. So what is it? A good reason why the Association of Devotees is so important, because I was puzzled. There must be a reason for existence. Right? Nothing happens without a purpose. There's a reason behind the existence of everything. So I was always scratching my head trying to work out. Everything in the material world, even though there's apparently random events taking place that you can't work out what the purpose is, still there's so much structure and order, you can see there's got to be there's something going on here. What is it? Right? And you don't find that out really until you meet the devotees. Right? So why does Arjuna fall into illusion if he's a nitya siddha? Huh? Why? Well, the reason is so that Krishna could speak the Bhagavad Gita. Huh? And also because Arjuna, being a devotee, is going to be the best person to inquire from Krishna as to what's going on here. A devotee is in tune with others and with the creation and the reason for existence. And so Prabhupada says in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna had a purpose for putting Arjuna into ignorance. And that was so Arjuna could ask questions about the problems of life. Right? And everybody faces problems. And when without the association of the devotees, we're scratching our heads. You know, why am I suffering? Ultimately, why am I suffering? That's the first question that Rupa Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya, right? Why am I suffering? Right? And other corollary questions that follow from that. And ultimately, how to solve the problems of existence. And these are all, you know, all of the questioning of Arjuna, of Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita is focused on solving these problems and understanding the purpose of life. And Prabhupada says, so that one can chalk out a plan. Huh? Chalk out a plan. Which means each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose in life. Each one of us has... And Prabhupada says then, to achieve the mission of human life. Really, really nice. The mission of human life. Do you all know what your mission is? Yes? No?
Yep.
Yep? No.
To become Krishna conscious.
Yes. That's the main purpose, but there's a lot of detail that goes into that. Huh? A lot of detail. Huh? Who am I? What am I supposed to do with life? Even as a lady, we think like that. And in fact, even though Prabhupada mentions here that the Varnashram Dharma is, what does he say? Material existence. You know? Material civilization. Material civilization which begins with Varnashram Dharma. That's pretty far out. But here it's interesting, when one attains the favour of the Lord, he loses faith in material civilization, which begins with Varnashram Dharma, but we still use it. Right? You know, the example is if you get a thorn in your hand, say for example, have you ever been too close to a rose bush?
Yeah.
Right? And then you get a, so how do you get it out? You take off another thorn of the rose bush and then you pull it out. Right? So, you know, we're stuck in the material world. And we want to get out of it. Right? But that means we have to use the material facility in the appropriate way. And this is where the Varnashram Dharma comes in. Because it structures and orders society in a way that's supportive of bhakti. But the real purpose is come to bhakti, not to be a Brahma. And that's why Prabhupada at the end of this purport says, naham, this, that, the other thing. Because the real goal of life is to understand our spiritual identity. And then, of course, give it to others. This is ISKCON. This is really ISKCON business. Our business, certainly we should study the Shastra. Because that's part of bhakti. Right? But the purpose of doing all of that is not so we become a big learned personality. We should be going out and giving Krishna consciousness to others. That's the real test of your realization. Giving prasadam, giving harinam. Right? And when you do these things, you realize that, you know, there's nothing as powerful as going out on harinam and having a wampa stompa kirtan. Right? And then just the feeling that you get, right? You many times I've been walking down Berg Street, you know, consciousness firmly fixed in, you know, Berg Street. But then with the influence of the holy name and the association of the devotees and the power of the kirtan, then all of a sudden you realize I'm not in Melbourne anymore. I'm in the spiritual world. That's how you feel. All of the material anxiety, all of the material worries, any of the material considerations, they all just evaporate in the absorption of the sound vibration of the holy name. And so, you know, you just feel completely, this is prema bhakti, actually, even though we're not qualified for it. Krishna gives it in the performance of Sankirtan, actually, very powerful. And then you see the effect that kirtan has, not that you feel it, but then you see that effect on the faces of others, right, who are not even in part of the kirtan, right? And then all of a sudden everybody's smiling. Unless it happens to a demon. The demons either come running at you or they run away. Or they go, huh? But you see on the faces of the people, just they're all smiling. In that bhakti shakti, or whatever it is, the potency of the Harinam. And And you know, that's the perfection of life. When you see that the potency of bhakti and the potency of giving Krishna, and in book distribution and in prasada distribution, people are connected to Krishna and feel the potency of Krishna's presence in those activities. Right? The test of a devotee is, yes, always thinking of Krishna, always engaged in Krishna service, then giving it to others. This is a real test of advancement. And that you get from the association of the devotees. Right? You can study the Vedas and get distracted and go off on all sorts of tangents. But in associating with the devotees, and of course that means the spiritual master, one will then understand what the purpose of life is. Of course, that's Krishna's purpose in and why we study the Bhagavad Gita. Because in asking Krishna these questions, Arjuna is laying the foundation, or showing the way, or setting the path to self-realization and purification. And then when we come to that point, then that desire to want to help and assist others. I think I've told this story many times, you know, how when we used to... Sundays was always a big shock for me in the temple, because Sundays, before I became a devotee, was you didn't do anything. But Sunday meant sleep in, do nothing. Total tamagoon. But then I was in the Brahmachari ashram, and Sunday meant more hard work than any other day. We had to go in the kitchen and cook the Sunday feast with korma. Anybody here cook with korma? It's an experience never to be forgotten. Because, you know, korma is fanatical about detail, right? Detail. And so, you know, if you're doing the cut up, you had to cut everything up. And what he would do is, if you had to cut up the potatoes, for example, he would have a cube of potato on the window ledge. And you had to investigate the cube of potato on the window ledge. And that was the size of all of the cubes that you had to cut up. And if you didn't, then you would get korma's mercy. And you know, a lot of what we do, the bhakti is in the detail. Right? It's in the detail. And it's a sign of, you know, the detail in your offering is indicative of the bhakti. Right? Not we just slap it all together. Like if you go to Gopal sometimes and have their salad, you know, with the broccoli in it, you get a piece of broccoli that looks like a branch of a tree. You have to work really hard on the thing just to be able to eat it. Right? But you know, yeah, that wouldn't be allowed. If when korma was cooking your gopas, that wouldn't be allowed. Because you know, it's the thought that counts, isn't it? You know, when you're showing your affection for somebody, you don't give them a big lump of broccoli, but you give it to them in a way that's it's palatable, it's relishable, it's eatable. So, you know, we would work really hard. You have to go in the kitchen, and then you'd put all of that effort into cooking and cutting up, and then helping with the cooking, and then lunchtime you got some time off, and then the afternoon you would generally shave up on Sunday afternoon, and then we have to serve out the feast, right? And we were so obnoxious or they were so obnoxious character, you know, that we had to be fed beforehand, because if we hadn't eaten, if we had to eat after all the guests, then we would be very grumpy, and we wouldn't treat the guests very nicely. And I used to see the Sunday feast guests, and I used to see these devotees, they come every Sunday, and they'd hear the class, and they'd jump up and down in the kirtan, and I'd be thinking, why aren't these guys joining the ashram? You know, why aren't they surrendered like me? So I was a bit grumpy about that. And so I used to think of the guests that came to the Sunday feast like they're a bunch of karmis, you know, almost not much above being a demon, really. Actually, you know, the epitome of that was one devotee who used to occasionally, he was a little eccentric, but sometimes he would stand at the front of the gate and tell people that the Sunday feast wasn't on, they could go home. Especially if Corman cooked a good feast. So this is a very neophyte attitude. But born out of pride, because I was thinking, I'm an advanced devotee, I'm surrendering to Krishna, why aren't you like me? Huh? You demon. putting me through all of this austerity on Sundays. When Sundays meant for sleeping, you know, you don't do anything on Sundays. Huh? My mode of ignorance had been shattered with, you know, the mode of goodness. But then, later on, I realised that these people that were coming to the Sunday feast, I was one of those people once. And only by having the association of the devotees that I was able to become a devotee. And that I had had to go through some amount of purification before I was able to join and, you know, move into the temple and be a brahmachari in a brahmachari ashram. Not much of a brahmachari, but something of a brahmachari for a little while anyway. You know, there's a picture on Facebook of me and a Chinchuripa getting married. And I posted it in 2011. And every now and again, my friends find that picture. They all start liking it. And then other devotees see it. And then they say, oh, happy anniversary, Aniruddha. Aniruddha and Chinchuripa, of course, you know, that was 2011. And then, and there's a funny story behind this picture. There are also, Chinchuripa and I are the only couple out of five couples that stayed married. So I remind them of those occasionally. Keep in mind, you know, that we actually knew each other since 1974, right? So, you know, there was a brief period where I was allowed into the Brahmachari ashram. I was still, even then, still very attached to a Chinchuripa at the time. Let the truth be known. But there are unfortunately children of those other couples who complain about that picture. They say, will you stop posting this picture because it reminds me of my parents and the fact that they didn't stay married. So there's a bit of a, you know, in everything there's mixed emotions with everything pretty much. So anyway, I got to the point where I started to realise that actually they weren't demons, but actually they were devotees. Potential devotees, just like I was. If I hadn't had got the mercy of the devotees, then I would have just still been coming to the Sunday feast and eating prasad. But with the mercy of the devotees and with their compassion and with their preaching, I became a more serious devotee. So I thought I'd better be more polite. I should be more appreciative of the devotees that are coming to the Sunday feast. And then one of the I'd been reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I came to the realization that I should do something. I should do something to help the preaching. I volunteered. I knew that I was going to be putting myself out, and that I was going to be inconvenienced, but I decided to become the Sunday Feast coordinator. I put my hand up. There was a need for somebody to coordinate the whole Sunday Feast. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And, do we have such a person these days? Not really. But somebody's doing it. Right? Somebody's doing that. Yeah, you make sure that the tables are all there, you make sure all the shaft goes upstairs, you make sure the servers are all there, you make sure that people line up, you make sure that, in this day and age, you make sure that the common dance of the prasadam are not, favouring people. So it's compassion for others. And we get that by the association of the devotees. When somebody's compassionate to us, then eventually that sense or that mood of compassion will rub off onto us as well. Right? This is why the association of devotees is so important. And a devotee puts themselves out to liberate others. Right? This is the that's what Srila Prabhupada did. Right? At 69, Srila Prabhupada started his preaching in the West. Isn't that amazing? At 69, most people are retiring. But Srila Prabhupada more or less started his preaching in the West, because he'd already been preaching. So, this is a test of a devotee. Parinishnitam. He's fixed up all around, and he's able to save himself, but when he's a fixed up, all around, liberated personality, what does he do? He goes back out into the material world to save others. And if we can embrace that mood, following the footsteps of our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, then we can also make some further progress in our spiritual life. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.